Good evening, friends of the Bulkley Valley and beyond. My name is Thomas Tom Roper, and you are listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. My program, On the Ropes, is broadcasting from the Cassia territory of the Gidimdum clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en. Well, there we have it, ladies and gentlemen. We're back again for another session, Monday, January the 13th, 2025. Can you believe it? We've made it through another year. It is totally amazing. Tonight, I've had a couple of interviewers that couldn't make the program, so I've taken the opportunity to interview myself. I have my own story of how I got to the Bulkley Valley, and I would like you to hear a little bit about it. And, of course, I've got my little playlist set up. And so before we get going, I just got to announce that the Smithers Concert Association is having an event on January 22nd, 7:30, at the Della Herman. Tickets $30. And then they've got a group coming called T. Buckley Trio. That's not T. Bulkley Trio. T. Buckley Trio. Looks interesting. So I don't know where you were on Saturday night, but there was a crazy bash going on at the old church. And it looks like Brandy Hughes, one of our local sort of parks lady, was having a birthday. And it turned into be a major dance party. It was pretty spectacular. And I've also been keeping in touch with my brother. He lives in L.A. and listening to how things are going with the fires. That sounds just unbelievably devastating. So getting back to my program now, I want to sort of bring up some of my exploits. You know, I have had a couple of shows on my podcast. We did a trip down to Panama and one across the Sahara. But this is sort of how I got into Highway 16 country. I had got home from Europe, and then I decided I was going to go back to college and finish my fourth semester. So it looked a little bit respectable that I had got the 2 years in. And as it turned out, it went pretty well for me. I was able to get myself sort of picked up a little bit. My marks came up a little, and I had a few things that I wanted to get done. I managed to get elected in council, and then I really wanted to get on the radio station, but unfortunately that had to wait for about 50 years. Can you believe that? We're now talking that college year was in 1973. So that's what happened now. We finally got through that semester, and school was out, and I had made the decision that I was going to move north, and I was going to build a house. I just couldn't stop thinking about that. So I cashed my income tax check, $27, and I got out on the freeway out of Burnaby and started hitchhiking, and I made it to Prince George. That evening, and I went down to the Salvation Army. And if you take a church service at the Salvation Army, they will feed you. So I took advantage of that and had a okay evening there. And then, of course, the next day I headed out going to the old job that I had in the fall with a company called the Paw Lumber. And they were situated just off of the road by Windy Point, which is on the corner to Mackenzie. So I hitchhiked out there. I got myself out into the camp, and I went to, I figured there wouldn't be too many problems of me getting in there because I had a pretty good fall session of piling lumber. I went to see the foreman, and he mentioned to me that he would never hire anyone from Burnaby as long as he lives. Seems that my friends
that worked there over the winter had kind of caused quite a ruckus, and that was the end of that job. So plans had to change pretty quickly. So I got back out onto the highway, and then I started hitchhiking north, because that was my original intention. I really wanted to go to the Yukon. And I thought, well, I mean, I'll just head up that way and everything will be good. So I stood there for 4.5 hours and could not get picked up. So the decision had to be made that I was going to go back to Prince George and see if I could find a job and get myself sort of a little better financially set up. So I crossed the road, and the very first car that came by picked me up. I was in Prince George at Manpower, which they just had jobs like you wouldn't believe, and the first job they showed me was out at Endako Mines. So the next day, I was on my way and heading up to Endako Mines, so that was quite a situation. I was able to work my way up at Endako quite easily, because in the early 70s, there was lots of jobs and not enough people that would hang around and work. So before you know it, I started out washing windows. I got on the lube truck, which was fueling up all the equipment. And then within 4 months, I was offered any apprenticeship that I wanted. Now that is kind of, I don't know, how do you make a decision like that? I could have been a carpenter, electrician, a millwright, or a mechanic. But that sort of came out in my way. I had quite a few cars, probably about 8 cars when I was in high school, and they all seemed to be at breakdown, and I would just move them on. So I made up the decision that I was going to take the heavy-duty mechanic apprenticeship. So that was another what you would call fateful moment in life's journey. So as we go along on in our show, we like to play a couple songs if we can. And this one here I've got from John Lennon. It's kind of it's one of those songs that has a lot of meaning to it. And it became pretty, when I was struggling trying to find my meaning to life, this song kind of led the way. So I'll just see if we can play it off and see what you think.
Our pain, yeah. believe in me.
Now, that's a pretty heavy song. I mean, a couple things there when I reheard it was the fact that he mentioned Elvis, and I kind of like Elvis. But anyways, part of that, the song sort of gave me some of the ideas that I was thinking about, and I still today believe that there's a lot of things out there that we're not working. And if we look at what's going on in Gaza right now, it's just a terrible situation, but somehow we carry on. So anyways, getting back to my story now, I've got myself a career started. The next thing I'm going to need is a wife and a piece of land to build a house on. So Fraser Lake I was there for a couple of years. It's a very beautiful place. There was property for sale around the lake. There was lots of opportunity there, but I was very concerned that there was sort of a one-horse town with the mine, and there was continual strikes going on, and we were not working, and I was trying to get ahead, save some money. I mean, to buy a piece of property in those days, you're going to need $20,000 now. That's quite a bit different than today at $200,000. But anyways, that's what was going on. And I made a decision that the day we laid nail beds over the access road to the mine and all the trucks that came up, the company trucks, ended up with flat tires, and I thought, this is not what I want to do. So I went up that day, picked up my tools, and I headed west and made it out as far as Houston. And I applied at Northwood. Now, in the situation, I had an apprenticeship going, so they had to accept my apprenticeship. And I got myself a job there at the largest sawmill in the world, working as a mechanic in their shop. So I had to find a way to get settled, and I had been following some of the Smithers newspapers, the Smithers newspaper, the Interior News, looking at property. And this particular property struck me. It was called the Million Dollar View. So I went up and had a look, and it was not the top, but up pretty well up Hislop Road. And that looked like the place that I could spend the rest of my life. So I somehow managed to meet up with Louis Hidber and his family. And they allowed me to stay with them in the basement. They had a spare room. And I was very fortunate, and I really appreciated their help to kind of get me started. And work my way into what I consider the center of my universe, Telqua. So I also had contacted a friend of mine for her to come up and to see the country. And it turns out I was pretty happy to call myself a back to the lander in Telqua, BC. So I want to pick up another song here that kind of fits in a little bit, being that I was a wanderer. So this is a Neil Young song called Comes a Time. So that was Comes a Time by Neil Young. And I think when he put that song together, he was also sort of coming through a period where he had been sort of figuring out his life and where he was going to go and felt that it might be time to settle down. And it seemed to match up with my thoughts, too. I've always liked Neil Young, and he's got some pretty fantastic music out there. And on top of that, he's a Canadian. So we get that to fit into our playlist program. We try to get one Canadian out of the four if we can. And so that's going to fit well. So now we've got a setup here. I've been kind of settled out at Northwood. I've got a place where I'm staying, and then now the next stage of that progress is to build my house. Now, that's kind of crazy because I really wasn't experienced at building, but my father had built his house. So I was very lucky that he was able to help me and give me some guidance whenever he was passing through town. He was a traveling shoe salesman, so he would get up to Rupert four times a year, and so that would give me an opportunity to get him to show me some of the ways. Now, one of the struggles that I did have was starting with the foundation, and I got all the boards set up, and I was ready for a pour, and the cement guy didn't like it. So very fortunate, he was a kind of a guy that could help you out. Rex White, his name was, and he came out one afternoon and rebraced the whole building. And I was pouring 8-foot walls, so I would say I was extremely fortunate that he did do that for me. And we managed to pour without any incidences, which was amazing. And I did get help from other people that I was working with that would come and give me a hand here and there. But it was definitely a learning process and enjoyable, because it was exactly what I wanted to do. I managed to go with lathe logs that I had bought from Fort Fraser. They had a mill there that was turning around logs. And then I got the trusses out of Tricon, whereas Tricon was back in the day. I'm pretty sure they were there at that time. But anyways, I also along that route, I had a chance to apply for another job. And there turns out there was a job at Madigan Equipment Coates Tractor in Smithers. So I don't think it would get much better for me. I'd be close to home, and I would be learning another part of my trade, working on John Deere equipment. So I was fortunate to apply for that job and get it. And then I worked my way up to be the serviceman with the truck. And that was quite a good job. And there was a lot of time driving, but I got to see quite a bit of country. Right as far as from south side Francois Lake, as far as north as Dease Lake. Because there was John Deere equipment in quite a few places. So that was kind of one of the plans I had. I got myself back. My three children were all born in Smithers and all raised up on Hislop Road. And it was falling into place what my plans were. You got to make a plan, and then you got to adjust it if it doesn't quite follow the way you figured it would be. So we're kind of reaching the midway point of the show. And at that point, we always want to redo our call signs. So everybody's aware where we're at. Smithers Community Radio, CICK, 93.9 on your radio dial. And I also want to point out and thank some of our sponsors. We're a volunteer organization here, and any money that we bring in is usually coming from community help. So I'll put a thank you and a throw out to Ranch House Tattoo. I've got Classic Sanitary, BV Farmers Market, the BV Concert Association, and I've got Phoenix Self-Care Studio, along with Accounting on Broadway. So thank you very much to those businesses that have been helping us along the way. So just a reminder that I am your host tonight. I'm trying to change my handle to Thomas Tom Roper. And our show tonight on the ropes is called Finding the Way. So carrying on a little more along this program, we've got life itself has always got challenges. And it seemed that In 1981, all of these challenges came to the forefront. The country kind of went into a recession, and all of the shops, all of the jobs that weren't, I'd say, big time jobs like Northwood, the smaller ones went down and closed up. And I went out on the road. I had my holidays, and I went from Prince Rupert to Fernie and checked all the areas, and there was just no work whatsoever. But fortunately, at that time, the provincial government decided they were going to open the coal mines in Tumbler Ridge. And I was lucky. The job that I had in Smithers at Madigan Equipment, Coast Tractor, had just gone union. And so all of these jobs in Tumbler Ridge were union, so I had a foot I could put in the door, and I somehow managed to get a job. And it was very fortunate because, of course, you know, the bills keep adding up, and somehow they've got to get paid. And I also, my relationship was having a problem, so it turned out this particular job was a camp job, and that was fortunate, because then I had a place to stay, and I had food, and I could work. So I had, I was quite happy that that all came together, and so I just wanted to note, too, that during that particular place and time, there was, I had seen about eight people that I knew vaguely from the Bulkley Valley that were down there also, because this was a provincial problem, and somehow we had to survive our way through. So the next song I've got on my playlist is kind of pulling together how I feel about this valley, and it's called This Town by Mark Perry, and I actually get kind of emotional when I hear it over the years, and we were fortunate to see Mark just before Christmas, and he played the song, and it just has a good feeling towards it. So let's see how it sounds.
Ernie moved here from Winnipeg 70 years ago. He said, sometimes you gotta take a chance in life, hey, you never know. Wrote a letter to his sister in Toronto and said everything is gonna be just fine. Packed everything he owned, headed west on the Grand Trunk Railroad line. And for days he rode the winding tracks up and down till the conductor stared at some mud and tents and said, here's your town now, this town will be built on the backs of the people who live here. This town will be built on the backs of the people who die here. This town may just disappear, or this town could live on. From the open ditches and the wooden sidewalks and the first big hotel, another stranger off the train, another story to tell, and a brand new railway station at the end of the street. Every town needed an important place for people to meet. And Ernie sent his two boys off to fight Adolf Hitler, and all he could think to say was, hurry back home now. This town will be built on the backs of the people who live here. This town will be built on the backs of the people who die here. This town will never disappear. Hey, this town will live on. There's no talk of unlimited timber around here anymore, and it's harder to find a good paying job than it ever was before. But the right people came, and the right people stayed, and in the hard times, they could not be swayed. And I'm still quoting Ernie, though it's buried on the hill. So many things can happen if you only have the will. Now this town will be built on the backs of the people who live here. This town will be built on the backs of the people who die here. This town will never disappear. Hey, this town will live on. Yeah, this town will be built on the backs of the people who live here. This town will be
the backs of the people who die here. This town will never disappear. Hey, this town will live on. You know the town is the people and the people of the town. Hey, the town is the people and the people of the town. Hey, the town is the people and the people of the town. Hey, the town is the people and the people of the town.
Now, of course, that was Mark Perry, our famous Smithers Troubadour, off of his album Recollections. When I hear that song, it kind of makes you sort of feel that you are part of the town, you know. And so I kind of enjoy that. I do enjoy it quite a bit. So getting back a little bit to the situation now, I was in Tumbler Ridge for about a year, and it's another very beautiful place, quite similar to the Smithers area. They have their mountains, they have their rivers, and a person could stay there, but I was drawn back to the Bulkley Valley. And interestingly enough, like I've been in various places around the world, and there's no question that there's many, many beautiful places, but there's just something about the Bulkley Valley that makes it feel like home. So I was able to come back after a year. Things were picking up again. It was a tough little recession, but we were able to, jobs were coming back, and this was just right around the period of the Swiss fire. Out of Houston. It was quite a serious forest fire. And it burned very quickly, as fires can do, the wind, and et cetera. And so the trees themselves were really just blackened. You know, the branches or the needles, the bark was burnt black, but the trees could be sawn. So there was a couple of mills, out of Prince George that moved in, a couple of portable mills, and I went out there to see if I could get back to town and get a job. So I was talking to the foreman, and he said to me, well, we actually have a mechanic. And he said, but what we really need is a millwright. So at that moment, I just said, well, today I'm a millwright. And he said, well, if that's what you want to say, if you can keep the mill running, you can have a job. So that's what I did. I stayed on there, and I was there for over a year. It was up the end of Buck Flats Road out of Houston. And it was, of course, interesting learning how to millwright, but it's really very similar to mechanicking. It's just something that's broken, and you've got to fix it. And so I felt pretty good about that. So I stayed millwrighting. After that job, I managed to get a few more jobs millwrighting. And after 5 years, 10,000 hours, approximately 2,000 a year, you can write your apprenticeship ticket. And so that's what I did. And then I became certified. So I was pretty happy to have the two trades tucked in my pocket. So, of course, now I got back home. It was time to sort of rebuild, you know, and I then rehired myself down at Northwood. I went back down to Houston and got back in the sawmill there as a millwright. So that was a pretty good setup. And I set into another 12 years I was working for them, and it turned out to be a very good job. So at the time, I was renting a place in Smithers, and of course I wasn't happy. I wanted to have my own place. So one of my friends, Dave Percy, had built a new house, and his old house, which was 20 by 30, 600 square feet, just like a sweet little dollhouse. he was prepared to sell it to me for $6,000. So all I had to do was find a place to put it, and that got me going. So I happened to run into Sam and Leah Sato in Telqua, and they had a lot. They had an extra large backyard that they were able to divide into a lot. And so I looked that over, and I went to town council, and they said, well, you can move that to Telqua, but it has to be 800 square feet. So I talked it over with my friend and my carpenter. He's always worked for me on the, you know, when I've needed help, Al Burrows. And we figured it all out and got to work on a full basement and an addition to the house itself. And by the time we were finished, we had quite a nice little place on First Avenue that is still there today. And we got her up to 850 square feet. So that turned out very well. I was very fortunate to make that happen. And then, you know, as life can go, I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And I met up with a very interesting lady that had a very mean air guitar. And we tied the knot out at the Telqua River Ranch on Coal Mine Road. And that was some 29 years ago. So we ended up buying that property off of Linda and Martin McDougal Visser. And it satisfied all of my sort of wants of getting a property. I'd already built a house, so that wasn't my desire. My next desire was to build a barn. And then along the way, we also were able to build a cabin out there. And my friend Bill Stevens was the log builder, and we worked together to get that cabin together. So I've got another song that I want to put across here. This is sort of where I'm at in my life. It's another John Lennon song, and it's sort of something that I kind of, you know, sort of believe in, but realize it's not realistic. But let's try it. So here we are.
Imagine no mistakes.
ashes. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all.
That's a very cool, famous song. It's hard to believe that John Lennon was shot and killed in 1980. I was at a John Deere training session in Edmonton. I just couldn't believe that somebody would feel that was necessary. But anyways, that is now quite a long time ago. So... As I was saying, you know, the Telkwa River Ranch turned out to be a very beautiful place. It was an amazing property along the river, and it also included an island, which is kind of unusual. But we spent some good days there, you know, getting firewood, cutting the hay, and raising the kids, and it went pretty special. So it was time for me to get another job. I'd been at Northwood Canfor for 12 years. And I've got this sort of saying, a little motto, that if you don't own the place after 5 to 7 years, it's time to move on. So by the time I got to 12 years, it's kind of like it's getting a little bit, I don't think tiring is a good word. It's more like it's just ready for a change. So I was very fortunate. A friend of mine, Jim Golder, I'd met him at the first aid course, and he'd told me that there was an opening for a mechanic up at Huckleberry. So I went up to see if I could apply, and I'd sent in a resume, and I hadn't heard anything, so I decided I would go up to the mine site and see what was going on. And oddly enough, when I walked in, the foreman said to me, "Oh, I'm glad you're here. Can you start tonight?" So that's how it sort of opened up for me and turned out to be one of the better jobs that I've ever had, considering the fact that it was camp. But it was 1 week on and 1 week off. So in the overall picture, you really only worked a half a year and still were making very good wages at the time. And the other, I would say, the other very cool thing was if you could put your 12-hour shift in and had a little bit left in the tank, they had amazing hiking, canoeing, in the summertime, and sledding, snowshoeing, skiing, whatever, in the winter. And you could squeeze in a couple hours before you had to get to bed. So that was quite a place to work, and I was very happy to have that job. And it was at that time in my life where I was coming up to retirement. And I was, just before I got into that position, one of the foremen had decided he wanted a motorbike down to Tierra del Fuego, and he managed to talk the boss into 5 months off. So I thought, well, that sounds like a real good idea. And so I went and contacted my boss, and they seemed that they were willing to do that. And my goal was to go look for gold. So I had set myself up and I was able to get on the road with my camper and my sluice box and head north. Now that's another story that I don't want to spoil by going too far into that, but I managed to come back after the 5 months, get back on at Huckleberry, and then within a year, they decided the price of copper was too low and they were going to shut down. So that turned out to be August 23rd of 2016, which, strangely enough, was my 65th birthday, and I was able to retire with the shutdown. So I've got a couple more songs that I want to slip in. We've got a little bit of time, and this one here is one of my favorite singers from Francois Lake. I am sure that at some point you may have heard her or seen her with Mark Perry. Her name is Rochelle Van Zanten, and I've always been kind of in love with this song.
When it comes round, I want to go round.
There was one other thing I wanted to mention about Huckleberry. I was very fortunate there to get together with a couple of ladies, and we decided we wanted to have like a newsletter, newspaper, and we came up with the name Huckleberry Hound. And over the time, we were able to produce 14 editions, and it was a lot of fun. And we'd interview people, you know, get the new people, the old people tell us this, and a little bit about equipment. It was kind of a fun operation. So I have those copies that I've kind of saved in my files, you know, and that was another sort of, I don't know, it was just a lot of fun. It helped me also learn to improve my writing. And then fortunately, after retirement, I had really wanted to write, and my friend Brenda Mallory had always kind of inspired me as a columnist at the Interior News. So she was quitting. And so I applied for the job with very little experience. But I did have those 14 newspapers behind me. And I got the job. So I was able to write a column, a weekly column, every week for 3 years. I set myself a sort of a goal of 3 years. So it was 156 columns, and I had to interview people and prepare and send the story in, you know, a week or so ahead of time. And it was very enjoyable. The most enjoyable part really is the people that you get to meet. And I find the same here when we're doing interviews on CICK. So that kind of is getting us near the conclusion of our of my story. And I called it Finding My Way. And I feel like I did find my way. I didn't get to the Yukon as I had planned, but I made it up to the Yukon with my sons after about 15 years of living in the valley. And I also, when my wife and I got married, we did our honeymoon up at Inuvik. So I went through the Yukon. So I'm very connected to the Yukon. It's an amazing place. But my home is right here in the Bulkley Valley. And so I'm going to try and slide one more song in before our final conclusion. It's not actually related to the story, but I really like this band. It's called A.J. Lee and the Blue Summit. And I've, over the years, been very interested in blues music, really most music. And I have a very eclectic sort of playlist, but let's see if we can just play this off to conclude a bit of music, and then we can have our final outro.
There's an oyster in bottom of your glass. You must be crazy, who would ever order that? Spent all day just hanging round in this seaside town. There must be something going down. Thank you. closing down. I hear your words, but the meaning can't be found. But there's a feeling in the back of my mind. No matter how I try, I could never leave you behind. I don't know why I can't leave you. Tell me lies and I'll believe you. Anytime you feel you need to, call on me and I'll be there with you.
Well, I picked that song up probably, I don't know, a year ago, and I've sure been enjoying it. It's a neat tune. So, finishing off now, we are concluding. It's been a really fun show, good opportunity for me to let you know how I got to the Valley, and of course, there's so many side stories to life as we go and how we've been able to keep rolling. I've managed to tell you a few of my jobs and that, but it could go on forever, but we're going to shut her down. I just want to thank you very much for listening, and remember that our next session is going to be 2 weeks, Monday, January 27th. And I am very happy to say that we're going to do an interview with the current Interior News columnist, Sonia Lester. Now, I feel that I've had a pretty interesting life, but this lady can outdo me at any time. So if you get a chance, tune in. We tune in live at 93.9 on your FM dial, but we also archive all of these shows, and they're on your computer, smithersradio.com. Top left is the schedule. Click on that. Then scroll down to Monday at 6 on the ropes, and I've now got 15 shows there. So I'm pretty happy to say that we're building up a bit of history. So that should do us for now. And I will just conclude with our outro and mention again that this has been your host, Thomas Tom Roper. And we will see you on the flip side. Let's see if we can get that going on the outro.
been listening to On the Ropes, Smithers Community Radio, CICK 93.9 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Thomas Tom Roper, and we will see you on